true power of broke and turn your iron will and boundless creative energy into engines of your success. I'm super excited to be on this journey with you and proud to share these stories to help you discover the power, possibility, and profit potential you can actually have in being broke. Just look at me, a dyslexic kid from Queens who was raised by a hardworking, no-nonsense single mother who found a way to instill in me an ability to think in big, bold strokes. To think without limits, even though there are all kind of limits on my resources. To think beyond my circumstance, which I got to say was pretty bleak at times. Out of that thinking, I somehow found a way to build a $6 billion clothing brand in an unexpected second career as a brand-building entrepreneur and star of a hit television show. And get this, I even been tapped by President Barack Obama to serve as an ambassador of his groundbreaking Presidential Ambassador for Global Entrepreneurship Program. Paige, pretty cool, right? But underneath the tremendous kick and great honor comes an enormous responsibility to help spread the power of entrepreneurship all over the world. And here, again, the power of broke is a big part of that for me. Now, I don't set this out to boast or strut, just to show you that if I can accomplish these things, you can too. It doesn't matter how broke you are. Broke is broke. And believe me, I don't meet too many people in my travels today who are more broke than I was when I was growing up. But we were rich in possibility, rich in hopes and dreams, rich in determination. And that's the whole point of this book. That's what drove all these fine success stories from a place of desperation to a place of inspiration. So now is the time in our relationship as writer and listener for you to start believing in yourself. Now is the time for you to take action. And the best way to start is to take a final look at the subtitle of this book, How Empty Pockets, a Tight Budget, and a Hunger for Success Can Become Your Greatest Competitive Advantage. Are your pockets empty? Are you working on a tight budget? Are you hungry for success? Well then, you're good to go. So, what do you say? Are you ready to put the power of broke to work for you?
So here we are at the end. I know Sway took good care of you. I hope you enjoyed listening to him as much as I enjoyed listening to him. But you know what? I'm just like every other entrepreneur out there. I had to test myself and I had to give you a little bit of me to make sure that you know that I'm fully behind this. Now, I want to make sure that you can follow me on, give me your comments because I'm open because listen, that's what we do as entrepreneurs. I want to hear your feedback of what you loved, what you weren't as excited about. And I want to make everything that I have even that much more better. So make sure you hit me at Damon@DamonJohn.com. Of course, many of you know to follow me on all the social media platforms from Twitter to Snapchat to Facebook to Instagram at The Shark Damon. At The Shark Damon. My name, of course, is spelled Damon, but Raymond with a D. And of course, I want you to, more importantly, give this knowledge to other people. Go out there and exercise the power broke. You don't need money to make money. And I want you to be excited about what you're going to do. Pass this knowledge on. Pay it forward. Make sure you go out there and change the world. But more importantly, have fun doing it and set a goal. Do your homework. Love what you do. Remember you're the brand and keep swimming. If you want to share this book for free, what you can do is you can tap on your Audible library or go into the app. Now, remember, sharing this book is great because you can either share it with like-minded people so you guys can both have each other's backs or, you know, those people that keep bothering you saying, I need something, help me, give me a handout, give me advice. Share the book with them and give them that power that they need, the power of broke. I love you. Goodbye.
Stay tuned for an exclusive interview between The Power of Broke, author Damon John, and narrator Sway Calloway at the end of the book. And now, listen to an exclusive interview between The Power of Broke, author Damon John, and narrator Sway Calloway.
All right, so first of all, I'm here with Sway.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
My buddy and I really appreciate us working on this audiobook. I think that we learned a lot during this process. You know, when I was thinking about, first of all, should I even take on the journey of an audiobook? I already had two books out, Display of Power and The Brand Within.
Yes.
moderate success, and I never wrote them to be successful from a publisher standpoint because I was offered a lot of money in my earlier days, you know, for people who wanted to hear about the celebrities I've dated or how I spent money or things of that nature. And I never wanted to write a book for various reasons. I have a family out there that I love and I respect, and that business doesn't need to be out there, number one. And number two, it wasn't going to empower anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could pick up the newspaper or pick up Today, of course, any social media platform, and we see it all the time. So how is that going to empower somebody? So I came out with those two books, and I'm very excited and happy where those books have gone and what they've done. But all of a sudden, Power Broke. I came up with this concept after many years on Shark Tank and seeing the individuals that have two theories.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is, hey, I'm going to get with a shark. They're going to take all my problems away. They're going to give me a bucket load of money, and then every single thing that they tell me, it's just going to make me a gazillionaire. And then I see the other people that says, the sharks are just part of the process. Whether I get a deal or not, I'm still going to make it. And even if I get a deal with them, it's still my company, my problems, my solutions that I have to come up with. They're just one part of that, the mm-hmm. aspect. It started to take hold of so many people, yellow, black, white, Jews, Christian, whatever your case is, because the beautiful thing about entrepreneurship is that it's the ultimate equalizer,
mm-hmm.
right? And then I said, all right, I'm going to take on doing an audiobook now because just like The Power of Broke shows you that you have to adapt and learn, we know that people now are consuming through many digital platforms, and I had a lot of requests. But I had to look at my assets and liabilities. My assets were that I had a powerful book and a lot of information to share with people. What's my liability? I'm dyslexic.
Dyslexic.
Yeah. I'm dyslexic, right?
Yeah.
And it's no secret, and I love sharing with everybody that four out of the six sharks are dyslexic, right? And yeah. If I were to read that book, we'd be here for a long time, right? And so then I said to myself, who am I going to get to be that voice of myself who can convey that voice? They can't be too young because then they're going to just be reading something. It's kind of like, you know, James Bond can't be 22, or the most interesting man in the world can't be 22 because he didn't see anything yet at 22.
Yeah.
And the person has to be mature enough to have seen enough to relate to the book and come at it from their heart. They have to be articulate. They have to be what I think is somebody that embodies entrepreneurship as a whole. A lot of huge names are passed around. A lot of huge names. But I think that the huge names are passed around because of purely star power.
Yeah.
And then I said to myself, there's a name that I consider huge. Many, many people know the person. Many people may not know the person. But you know, the validity in that person, no matter what, the foundation of that person, if they look into them, they'll find out that the person is the real deal. And I'm the exact same product. You see, when Mark Burnett started Shark Tank, everybody said to him, all right, so what movie stars are going to be in the chair? And, you know, who's going to be there? And then they're going to, everybody's going to tune in to see them. And he said, no, I'm going to take a cast of people you may not know. But these people are really going to have the business knowledge. They're going to operate the businesses. And actually, networks did not pick it up because of that. But Mark stuck to his guns and said, mm-hmm. no, the proof is going to put it. I'm going to put these people on. And now today, people believe and they respect us. But, you know, many, many years ago, they said, if it's not somebody who's singing and dancing and has a bunch of money, we don't want to.
They don't want to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And he stuck to his guns. And that's why I felt and I was honored that to reach out to you to help me with this. But there was also, I can't lie.
Yeah.
I know that you have been a successful broadcaster for many years. But I knew you never did an audiobook.
Yeah.
And I know that doing an audiobook is hard.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When you said yes, I was like, I got him.
Yeah, you got me. Yeah, damn, you got me, man. Yeah, this is, first of all, thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
You know, for a couple of reasons. Number one, reading through the book again, because I read it when you came by the morning show, Sway in the Morning Show on Sirius XM. That was a cheap plug. I learned that from the book. You know, that chapter in the book where you guys painted the FUBU logo on all the store owners on their doors they were lower, you know, every night that people see the logo. But I had no idea what this undertaking would be, you know, and I've done a lot in broadcasting over the past 2 decades, from syndicated radio to MTV News, VH1, Sway in the Morning, all this. I've sat with 2 presidents, you know, I've spoken with everyone from Tupac to Wayne to Biggie to Drake, whoever, you know, I've covered hard news from Hurricane Katrina to Jenna 6 to the earthquakes in Haiti.
Right.
You know, I've done a lot, you know, over the years, but this process, I will admit, has been constantly challenging, tedious, but rewarding, all in the same moment, you know.
Has the reward been the knowledge that you've gained? Because I'm a student of the book myself, you know, and as you have been going through the book, I was learning as I was going through it, and I was asking the questions that I'm sure everybody wants to know, because I want to know too. Has it also, or has it been rewarding because it was, I'm testing myself again, you know?
Initially it was, well, I didn't know I was testing myself. I thought I was just going to come in and, oh, let me read. And it's been rewarding because as I read it, I'm learning. And in it, there's this extremely successful person that I've watched your career blossom, you know, from when FUBU first became a name in the streets, not a household name, a name in the streets. And it was like, yo, who are these guys, man, that's, you know, revolutionizing the fashion industry? And they're us.
Right.
You know, man, these dudes look like us. They talk like, they walk like us.
Yeah.
And so reading, you know, the intricate details on how from your mom taking out a loan against the house to, you know, you as a kid having your own transportation service, you know, and picking people up and dropping them off. And the reward was learning the principles that you learned coming up in your evolution and then applying those principles to things I've done in my own career for confirmation.
Right.
And didn't realize that, oh, this is what I was doing, proof of concept.
Yeah.
I was testing out the marketplace when we would play music that we wanted to feature on a project and get feedback from our audience, or we're doing concert tours or whatever, and we're putting a new artist on and getting feedback, or, you know, we made our own t-shirts, not to the tune that you guys have done, and, you know, and limit, you know, narrowed down the design patterns to the ones that are actually working and the color schemes that are working. Damn, that's confirmation, you know.
Right.
Wow, let me read for it. You know, listening to you say, you wanted to do a book that empowers people, you know, and there's a chapter when you talk about mentorship, you know, and even offering to mentor the young man with the bow tie business, Mo's Bows.
Yeah.
And, you know, telling him that, man, you don't want to, you guys don't need the money you think you need in order to launch this business. But what I am willing to give you is mentorship. And then being honest enough in the book to say, you know, it's a, you know, it's a reciprocal relationship.
Sure.
You know, for him, he's going to get this business advice from one of the most successful people he's probably met. For you, the reciprocation of being a mentor, can you repeat that? What you get from being a mentor?
You know, in my situation of being a mentor, there's a lot of different things. And, you know, in Mo's case is the pay it forward theory, because Mo and his mom remind me, you know, my mother and myself. The fact that, you know, he's a young man coming up and fashion changes all the time. And he keeps me on my game, right? The fact that to show people, other people that, you know, when you're a person that, you know, people look at you, you have resources, everybody's coming to you for a check.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the best way to show people to not come to you for a check is show that I roll up my sleeves and I get my hands dirty. And checkbook philanthropy is fine, but, you know, giving back and then hoping to change Mo, and Mo and his mother, you know, are going to end up creating jobs, and those jobs are going to create more jobs, is better, I think, a physical example than just checkbook philanthropy. Mm-hmm. And I think that in a certain way, it just shows people what they should be doing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different things. And of course, mentorship is always a symbiotic relationship. Yeah. You know, we look at mentors as being people who are older than us often, but with the way the technology is going these days, maybe you should, you know, get a couple of kids that work in your office who know how to convert things mm-hmm. online, and they know what Snapchat is. You never heard of it. And maybe they should mentor you while you mentor them in the fundamentals of what you know.
Yeah.
So that's really my mo thing.
And so those part of the reward in reading all of these things, and these different chapters, which covers different areas of entrepreneurship. But what I like most, and I learned, see, I read the book before you came on the radio show.
Right.
But during this process, I'm digesting the book.
Yeah.
I'm living through the book. I'm trying to speak through in your voice with a West Coast accent, of course, and see through your eyes
yeah.
and relay that energy. Well, I'm just like a vessel. I'm a liaison
right.
to your vision. That's extremely hard to do.
It is. It's a talent.
So hopefully I've done it justice. But I'm learning so much from it. The young lady who became the social media guru.
Acacia.
You know, some of the things that worked for her that you were able to point out.
Yeah.
In terms of her brand, building her brand and keep sustaining her brand equity and, creating this audience around her brand. So now that the corporations come to her.
Right.
And then they know if she promotes that her audience know is real.
Mm-hmm.
You've done that throughout your career. I've done that throughout my career. I've been very cognizant of what I stand next to.
Right.
And sure, there's some decisions I could have made that would have made me a whole lot more money.
Sure.
Potentially, but I don't think it would have expanded my brand. In fact, it might have hurt my brand, and I may not be sitting here today. You know,
and I think that was a valid point. I think because, you know, one of the reasons why I was fortunate enough to know you and get to have you be part of this is because let's look at the space that you're in. And for those who don't know and are either going to listen to the book or listen to it already, you know, you've been a very recognizable broadcaster. And for many, many years, you worked with everything from Sirius Satellite to MTV, mm-hmm. even till today. And as you said, you've covered many things, but people for some reason don't realize, or some people don't realize, that every single thing that is out there, every category, has been dominated, and many, many, many people have lost and failed at it. So the top 1% is generally what you see in any category, maybe 1 to 5%. And let's look at you being a broadcaster, because many people who are going to read this book or listen to this book are going to have a product, a category, or something else. And that's something viable.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody has a shirt and they make a shirt or they make a camera, they may have bought it for $50 and they want to try to sell it for $200. But no matter what, there's some value to there, right? It's $50 mm-hmm. or they can get rid of it for $5. Being a broadcaster, there's actually no difference in regards to something you can purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that they have a sway available at this price, and they have somebody, they have 4,000 other people who will do it for free.
Yeah.
And consistently over 20 years, your product, you have been asked to represent. And even though you didn't bend on many, many things that I'm sure a lot of people have, that probably, to me, is harder than manufacturing something, because I have a hard cost and I can put a price on that. It's almost like a model or a singer. Everybody can sing for that 3.5 minutes that record is playing. Even Michael Jackson, before he passed away, didn't have a hit,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the end of the day, right? What is it that everybody, as they learn and listen to you, what is it in you that has been the go-to source that everybody wants to work with and you've been in business 20 years because everybody today listening to this, unlike many years ago, everybody today is on social media. They're out there broadcasting themselves on Facebook or whatever it's going to be when you hear this. And everybody believes they're a brand today and they have to be able to communicate. So that's why I wanted you part of this, but I wanted to know also your discipline because you're like an extra chapter in the book.
And I said, well, that would be an honor if, but I'll consider myself a virtual chapter. Thank you. You know, that's a great question, Damon, and I'm usually on the other end of these questions. I think what's in me is had nothing to do with business. It had more to do with upbringing. And my grandfather, I didn't grow up with my father. So I took a lot of tutelage from my grandfather and my great uncle, who were all, they were from the South, and they were very stern and disciplined, strict men, you know, in the sense of the word men. And things they put in us early on was to, my mother used to always say this too, you could lie to everybody around you, but you could never lie to yourself, you know, and one of the things they always said was stay true to yourself. And if it's something that doesn't, if you want to know the answer, in regards to what you should be doing, your spirit is going to tell you something. There's something intangible that gut instinct is going to let you know and be consistent, you know, be consistent and be reliable. So when, you know, like you were impacted by hip hop culture, by the culture, I was impacted by the culture and some of the principles that we learned as children were, you know, you got to be innovative. You know, Damon John got something he's doing. He got a nice little breakdance move. He got learn his move. Learn how he does that. Add something to it. Make it better. Make it different. But make it yours. Put a signature on it. Loyalty. You know, be loyal to the people around you and be loyal to your cause. You know, foresight and vision. You know, make sure you see ahead. We played a lot of chess. Make sure you see three to five steps ahead of where you're going and what you're trying to do. And then have purpose. Why are you doing this? You know, what do you hope to accomplish? And is it about you or is it about those that you reach and touch? I learned that early on. And so, you know, in the field of entertainment, it's constant temptation is, it's a dirty game, you know, and in that process, you have to keep your vision to be strong. I didn't get into it to become rich, but I wanted to become successful, you know, and I measured success differently at an early age than others. I didn't measure it through monetary value. I measured it through being able to sleep at night. And I also measured it by how much can I make multiply, but at the same time, maintain the same consistency. So when we did radio, the approach was always that, you know, man, I want to talk about the culture and things that affect and impact people's lives on a daily basis. So when you walk away from my station or show, you feel like, you know, I laughed, I got mad, but damn it, I feel like I learned something today. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that's exactly the entire purpose of The Power of Broke. You know, I think you summed it up in so many ways that, you know, Amore, you had to love what you were doing and you wanted to, whether it's the kids in Harlem who may say keep it real or whether it's somebody, you know, in Kansas who says be authentic or be true to yourself, whatever it is, that's what it is. Because at the end of the day, everybody's not going to get an A on their report card when it comes to business.
Yeah.
But you can get an A on your report card when it comes to ethics and morals and being honest with yourself and did you leave everything on the field. And as people listen to, you know, what you're going to share and what we're sharing collectively to people today, I think that they will sense that in you because I know that you're learning the book as you go through. And I go back and read it again and again because I'm looking at people like Kevin Plank and I'm looking at people like Acacia and Rob Dyrdek and I'll tell you, when I was doing these interviews,
yeah,
when I interviewed Kevin Plank and Rob Dyrdek, they were almost like identical twins, and they made me feel like doing push-ups when I left that room, like I am a loser.
Really?
Like, you know, I felt like I was, you know, like halftime on a, you know, halftime of the Super Bowl, and I'm down by 200 when I left that, when I left talking to Kevin Plank. So, so I'm really proud, and I'm honored that you're able to share this experience with all of us, and I want everybody to know, just like they're listening to the book for the first time, or maybe the 10th time, that you and I both are testing ourselves as we're going through the
Absolutely.
Book, because it's always about testing yourself, and I'm very, very excited about it.
I'm excited as well, and this has been great, a great learning experience, and it's been inspirational, and I've been applying the principles to the book and everything I do since I've been reading through the book for this project, and I think, you know, for real, I've seen people. I saw a young lady, a promoter in Miami named Yes Jules.
Mm.
She throws a lot of the big parties in Miami, and she just, you know, copy and pasted one of the power facts.
Yeah.
About initially 63. I don't know it verbatim, but 63% of startup, you know, entrepreneur companies initially were came from people who came from wealthy families. Now it's only 32%, which means a lot more people.
It's a lot more opportunity.
It was a lot more opportunity. And that was just random. I don't know if she knows you.
I don't know, but
that's just a random fan that posted that.
Yeah. Like I said, you know, the book has taken so much, and it's taken so many legs out there. And, you know, my purpose was to answer the most asked questions out there, number one. But two, give takeaways for people to go back to and keep applying. It's the same exact thing I do when I read Think and Grow Rich or The History of Genghis Khan, and I keep applying these things.
Yeah.
How
did you select who you wanted to interview? And were there anybody, you know, any people who chose not to do it?
Yeah, so I selected the people because I had a respect for them, number one, but I also had to look at it like a chart and say, I don't want somebody to say, oh, all his fashion friends, well, I'm not doing fashion, I'm a baker.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to cover so many categories, and I wanted to make sure that they were everybody. So, you know, looking after the Acacias, or the Josh Pecks, or people who are very young and they're changing the world, I want the older, more mature generation to respect their fundamentals just as much, because we have two type of millennials in the world. We have the ones that we say, you know, you feel like you're entitled to everything and you don't have any respect and whatever the case is. And guess what? Our parents said that about us too.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you have the other millennials who overthrow governments with Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They want to save the planet that, you know, many of us have ruined, and they won't buy or support anything unless they know there's a social cause to it. And they'll pay more for an experience than they will for a product. Right. Mm-hmm. And they want to enjoy life. So there's two type. And I wanted the people who may not have a level of respect for them to see themselves, mirror themselves in there. So that's why I got them. Then I wanted people to say, okay, you know what? What if I had money? So I get a Steve Aoki, and I show that money didn't help Steve. It actually hindered him, right? I get a Kevin Plank. So I wanted it to be enough mix of old, young, men, women, music, fashion, baking, and social media, and I wanted us all to learn. And then you can see that there's a line that connects us all. The fundamentals of business will never change, no matter how much business does change. You know, some of the funny facts of that, they said that probably about 50% of the kids that are in college now will end up retiring from a position that doesn't even exist today, right?
Yeah.
Right? But think about it. If somebody was said to you 30 years ago, who's your CTO, your chief technical officer, or who's your content person or your coder, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But the fundamentals of business will never change, and that's why I put the collective group together.
How did the other sharks, have they read the book?
You know, The other sharks have helped support it. They have, I've asked some of them questions. Yeah. I joke about them, or, you know, they don't know this, they don't know that, but they are all brilliant. Yeah. And, they've absolutely supported, and I've supported them, you know. I've learned a lot, you know, being on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
I've learned, from the other sharks. I learned from the entrepreneurs that are changing the way business is being done. I've learned from the viewing audience. So absolutely the sharks have contributed in some form or another, because then I wouldn't be practicing my own, theory of, surrounding yourself with like-minded people and having mentors who know better than you in other areas.
Yeah. And being, humble enough to understand and embrace that and utilize it. What have you discovered now, because you've been a TV star for so long now, what have you discovered about your brand and yourself when you walk outside and how people perceive you?
An interesting fact, because it has moved and changed. You know, a friend of mine said to me one day, he said, you know, you're the face of entrepreneurship for minorities and people that are not necessarily minorities. And he said, you've always been wanting to give back. And I said, I didn't always want to give back. I mean, you know, I was so busy as a young man, and many people listening now, young men and women, that I just wanted to get out of the, not even get out of the hood. I just wanted to be able to support my family.
Mm-hmm.
If I had one. And then somebody said, no, you know, you could have named FUBU Damon John. You could have named Display of Power, How Damon Made It. You could have named You're the Brand Within, something else. He said, you've always had this mission to empower others. And maybe that's because I'm an only child. I had to find my friends on the street, mm-hmm. right? And as I go out there, and Shark Tank, I never thought it would last, many, many years, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, wherever it's going to go.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd be in this position. You know me from coming up in the FUBU days, where I was kind of sometimes in front of the camera, but behind the camera, hoping superstars and people will wear it. I never thought I'd be in front of the camera. And as I go out there and speak and talk to people, I do still get a high, or I feel blessed that somebody wants to take a picture of me, or they want to ask information of mm-hmm. me. And I guess being this person that I am today, I guess I want to be the poster child for hope, because getting where I am today from where I've come from means that anybody can do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's really something that I'm really proud of.
Yeah. That's motivated me in many ways. I know one of my first initial thoughts, I had a chance to interview President Obama in the Blue Room live on air. One of four journalists at that time who was able to interview him in the White House, the only person who come from where we come from.
Right.
And all I could think is, there's some kid in Oakland where I'm from, or some kid in Brooklyn that know me, or some kid in Chattanooga, or some kid in somewhere that's going to look and go, wow, that's Sway sitting with the
yeah.
president. And if I can, you certainly can. And I hope that, I've always hoped that that's what people would take away from it. One of the things you said early on, too, and I want to kind of get you to expound on this, is you said entrepreneurship is a great equalizer.
Yeah, the ultimate equalizer.
What does that mean?
It means that, you know, when you walk into a room, we're all going to have prejudices against us. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to be hated because of their sex, their religion, their color, their creed, because they're short. Because you know what? You look like somebody I just don't like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can walk in there with that chip on our shoulder, or whatever the case is. Or if we work smart enough and get to the point that people respect us, or they see something that's in it for them, they change their way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that many people have the cards and the deck stacked against them, who's going to be listening to us. But at the end of the day, if you don't take it personal why people are making decisions, because at the end of the day, people are just making decisions that they're either comfortable with, or they think it's in there for something's in it for them. If you look at it as, hey, I'm walking in the room, I'm feeling, they go, I may not like the guy, I may not like the girl, I may not agree upon him. You know what? I don't like Asian people, but this person is of value and I know that we can make money together.
Yeah.
So when you put white and black, yellow and blue together, but if they can make green.
That's the great equalizer.
Ultimate equalizer, right?
It is.
And, okay. And I think to elaborate on that is, you know, it's great to be somebody that hopefully, a lot of my minorities and African Americans can admire. But when I'm out there doing book signs and talking to people, it's people of all colors. Mm-hmm. It's Caucasian men and women. It's parents bringing their kids who are all colors. And I hope I get hope out of that because the media shows us the separation in when people don't like people, but mm-hmm. they don't show when those people of all colors hug me and say, you've inspired me. They don't look at me as an African American and oh, the black guy did it and they happen to be of another color. They look at me as a person mm-hmm. and they have no problem showing their children that this is a person you should respect. And I think sometimes it's very powerful to not be the respect me, respect me, respect me person, but somebody just respects you and values you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is in some way very, advantageous to us as a whole, and in the book, many people will or will not know because on TV you don't know it, but you know, my stepfather came into my life. He is, happens to be of the Jewish faith.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that helped me become a successful business person, not necessarily because of the lessons he taught me, but because of the love he gave me. And I realized at that point, love doesn't come with a color.
Yeah.
So as I traveled around the country or my mother would send me places, I wouldn't walk in with a chip on my shoulder saying, oh, this person doesn't like me, or those people walk around on a cloud with silver spoons in their mouth. I looked at people as people, so a deal was never broken because of a color.
Because of a color. That's interesting right there, you know, that what you learned from your stepfather and how business really, it doesn't have emotion, is what you're saying. You don't need emotion or bias to get business done. If you had, and I'm curious, because this Power Broke philosophy, you demonstrated how it could work on many different levels and many different fields. Hypothetically, if the Obama administration or whoever our next president is going to be called on you for consultation in order to help us kind of tighten up and improve our national economy.
Sure.
How could the Power of Broke apply to that?
Well, first of all, it's going to be about how are we going to create jobs and give people assets and or access to capital.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the Power of Broke from our economy standpoint is not to guarantee a loan or to, you know, to do those things. It is people, a lot of people don't know where to get the pure information to scale. So let's look at how it can hopefully help our economy. You know, we have been, first of all, we devalue some of the most precious assets that we have in this country, which are our teachers. And those individuals who take our kids and they watch our kids for 10 months out of the year, and they're extremely influential, and they're basically mentors for a point, right? If we take music out of everything and all we're teaching him is the three R's or whatever R's, right? And history is fine. But if we put in schools curriculums for financial intelligence, for entrepreneurship in high schools, I've seen things like NIFTY, Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship. I've seen when they teach a kid who's 8 years old about if you take one pencil and you sell two and then you go back and buy a pack and then you resell. It has been proven that teaching kids financial literacy and or, you know, entrepreneurship and you know, music that use both sides of the brain, it has shown that it has improved them greatly and vastly.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a kid right now in Chicago and you are going to school to hear about Columbus, which is great. Mm-hmm. I do believe you know your history. But then, you know, somebody's asking you to wear a color and be a gang member or, you know, whatever the case is, make some money. No matter what, you are attracted to understand business. You'll leave if you're talking about Columbus. Yeah. Oh, that's not helping me today.
Yeah.
But no matter what, you have good intent or bad intent, you're going to want to understand business and it's showing the kids of status. So if we, first of all, the new administration helps educate our kids with things that they can move forward with, and no matter what they do in life, try to be the best at it, and we hope that they're going to do the right thing, and they're going to have hope, then they most likely will then lead to be not a liability to our society as somebody who may be incarcerated. They may end up being an asset to our society, another taxpayer, another father, another mother, another mentor, another person who helps teach the community. So I think that that's one aspect.
Yeah.
And then I think another thing of the access of the power of broke is that, you know, a lot of the reason for the power of broke is you have to use everything else at your fingertips, your other people's OPM, right? Other people's mentors, manpower, marketing, manufacturing, and everything else like that. If the system is created where it's easier to get capital, or it's easier to get information to capital, and you all get maybe some kind of tax incentives, then people are going to create more jobs in this country. You know, right now, if somebody can go and make a bunch of shirts and say, you know what? I'm going to make them in China, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to pay $10 a shirt in China, right? Bring them over here. They don't have to deal with anything. But if the government said, we're going to give you enough tax incentives here that is going to cost you $5 to make a shirt. But yeah, you have to deal with your payroll, your insurance and everything else. You're going to go, it's worth it.
Yeah.
But they got to incentivize these people to do things. And I think that, and I hope that, no matter what, the next, administration will understand that, because small business is big business.
Small business is big business. And then finally, I've suggested, you know, to a lot of my listeners who call and they have questions about, their life, stability. You know, we have a lot of different guests. We might have someone who works in real estate. We may have someone who works in medicine. And a lot of the listeners, you know, trying to figure it out, you know, they don't really know where to go or what to do or how to, they like the ideal of entrepreneurship, but they just don't have any resource. They don't have any money. They don't know where to start, how to start. Yeah. I know this is a broad question, but how could someone who's broke benefit from the power of broke and become, you know, have a sustainable lifestyle?
So, the fundamentals of the power of broke, which we'll, you know, go through in the book, is that you really do not need money, because most of your initial startup is purely you educating yourself and putting the sweat equity in no matter what, right? So before people think they need capital, again, they need access to information. As you being a broadcaster, whether this first day you picked up the mic or not, I'm not sure. I highly doubt that, you know, somebody said, hi, how you doing? Go in that room and you have your own show. I'm sure a lot of doors were slammed in your face and you started to see what a lot of people were doing who were successful and exactly what people were doing who weren't successful. They were showing up late. They couldn't care less. They had their posse around them or whatever the case is, right? And the first thing that people have to do, you know, wherever, whatever the career is when you understand the power of broke, you break down the theory that everybody has. Number one, go, burn all bridges, quit your day job. No. You can't quit your day job. You know, I worked at Red Lobster for 5 years while I started off FUBU. Because if you look at Shark Tank, when we sit there and say, well, how much money you made this year? And they go, well, we have a profit of $100,000. Well, who works for the company? Me, my wife, my son. Did you pay yourselves? No. You ain't make a profit of nothing.
Yeah.
Somebody's gonna have to do that. So number one, it holds you back from burning all bridges, and it tells you and it tries to give you the discipline of saying, investigate what you want to do. Whether you set a goal for 2 hours a week in this business for the 6 months, and if I get to this level, I'll put in 4 hours and 6 hours a week and whatever the case is. So number one, it shows you don't burn your bridges, because you got to pay the bills. Because if you don't pay the bills, then you're too desperate to make money, then you end up probably taking an investment too soon. Number two, it shows you that you have to go out there and you have to make the mistakes small. And many people really believe that if they don't step out looking perfect, that it doesn't work, right? And, you know, there's an old saying that everybody compares their blooper reel to everybody's sizzle reel, right? Because every time we look at somebody else, they're doing so great.
Yeah.
So some of these things are the things that people need to do. And no matter what, in any field you're at, you have to have the things, obviously, we've been talking about. are passionate about a proof of concept, like-minded people around you know that you're going to fail way more than you succeed. And at the end of the day, the process of an entrepreneur is they take affordable next steps.
Yeah.
So what is a person's affordable next steps at their fingertips? They often don't value what they have.
Wow. Damon John.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I appreciate it, man.
This has been an Audible Studios production of The Power of Broke, How Empty Pockets, a Tight Budget, and a Hunger for Success Can Become Your Greatest Competitive Advantage. Written by Damon John with Daniel Paisner. Performed by Sway Calloway and Damon John. Producer, Mike Charzik. Copyright, 2016 by Damon John. Production copyright, 2016 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.